Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Good morning and happy Wednesday, everyone. I tell you, we are excited. We got some snow here in Connecticut where I live, so it's all white and beautiful outside. The branch are looking gorgeous with all the little sprinkle of white on that. I think majority of the schools are out today because along with the snow, we have some ice. So winter is here. Winter is here. And I just want to thank each and every one of you. We have two amazing segments for you today. We have a returning guest, Mr. Lee Brower. He's going to be on for the first portion, and then I have Judy Winslow, who will be coming on for the second segment. So grab a chair, grab your cup of green tea or the beverage of your choice, and just join us for the conversation. However, before I go into the conversation, I want to remind you that you can be part of the dialogue when you so desire by calling in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And the chat room is also open. I want to welcome It's My House to the show. Thank you. I think you're a first-time visitor. I have not seen you here before, so I acknowledge you and thank you for joining us this morning. Also, I want to encourage each and every one of you to please visit my website and become part of my mailing list so you can be kept informed of the things that I am doing. And you may visit me there by going to DaphneClarkHudson.com. DaphneClarkHudson.com, and it's a Clark with an E. DaphneClarkHudson.com. All on Twitter, please connect with me there at Dynamic Daphne. And on Facebook for my fan page, it is also Dynamic Daphne. Also, I am inviting you to connect with me on LinkedIn as well. And for the past year or a little over a year or so, I founded the nonprofit organization called the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. And this organization is created to help me feed hot breakfast to the children at the Carmel Primary School in Westmoreland in Jamaica. That's my former elementary school. And I was blessed with the responsibility of doing this. So I am reaching out to you this holiday season and ask you to put us on your shopping list. So as you shop out there, I want you to remember those students at the Carmel Primary School who are going to school without breakfast. I want your help to make sure that they get the most important meal of the day, which is a breakfast. So please inbox me, message me, and I'll tell you how you can donate to our cause there. And any ideas you have about fundraiser, and so we are open to your suggestions. So please, I ask for your help. I know I can depend on you. I want to welcome guest 171 to the show. And before I bring my honored guest on, I just want to go ahead and say thank you Bright and early this morning, the owner of my dry cleaning called me to say happy birthday. I don't know if it's something new that started because I've been using that cleaners for many years. It's the first I've got a call on my birthday from them. So they probably change ownership or they decide that customer service needed to be tweaked. So I want to thank you, Brad, for calling in, calling me on my birthday. And for all my many friends and followers and supporters from around the world, the email, the messages and kind regards kept coming in since yesterday. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And I can just feel the love. So without any further delay, I want to welcome my returning expert, Mr. Lee Brower. Good morning, Lee.
Hello, Daphne, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. And I tell you, I would not want to spend my birthday doing any other thing this early in the morning than talking with you. So I thank you for for coming on.
I would not have been here except that it was your birthday, so that's why.
Okay, thank you so, so very much. For those of you who listened a few weeks ago, you remember that I had Lee on one of the Sunday segments, and he was sharing some things that happened with his family, and that is still up there for you to gain access to that. He's here this morning because Lee's also an entrepreneur, and he is the founder of Empowered Wealth LLC, and that's what we are here to talk about this morning. So, Lee, I want you to please tell us a little bit about who you are as a business person and tell us what is Empowered Wealth, and then we are going to go into the meat of our conversation.
Well, thank you, Daphne. Just to kind of jump right in for your listeners and move things along, a little background. Just originally, I started out years ago in the estate planning business. I worked for a firm in Los Angeles, California, and worked with some very affluential people and influential people, families from across the country. Ranging from former presidents of the United States to entertainers, sports figures, et cetera. As I continued on into that, after some a decade or more of doing that kind of work, became very concerned that if I'm focused on how does wealth move from one generation to the next was really my focus. And there's a disturbing statistic that says that 97% of family businesses never survive beyond the third generation, to that third generation and beyond. In fact, it's over 70% never make it to the second generation. So the question that I ask myself is, if I'm in business, what is my stewardship responsibility to my wealth and to what I build, and does it have a future that goes beyond me? In other words, am I just here to make myself money, or is there really a contribution, that an entrepreneurial contribution that can be made through my efforts? And out of that question grew Empowered Wealth. And so for the last 21, 22 years, we've been focused in on entrepreneurial families, entrepreneurs that love their families and want to make a difference on the planet. And so there's plenty of those. There's that market is insatiable. There's 12 million, just baby boomers alone, Daphne, there's 12 million baby boomers in the United States that own a business.
Wow.
So the question is, what's the next step for them? Because if they own a business, you know, what are they going to do with it as they age? Is it going to pass to the next generation? Is it a buyer's market? And so, you know, so I have plenty of, we've trademarked the term the business family coach, as opposed to a family business coach, because really all families that at some point in time become a business family if they want to survive in the future generations. So I can share with your listeners some of the key things that I'm also an entrepreneurial coach. I spend 3 days every month in Chicago as one of the coaches for primarily working with the more successful businesses. I coach roughly 300 business owners every 90 days, and they come back every 90 days. So on a reoccurring basis, I now have some business owners from different parts of the world that fly in every 90 days and have been doing so for over 10 years. And
wonderful.
And what a great place to be, if you can imagine that, you know, that 2 or 3 days every month, I'm sitting with almost 100 very, very successful entrepreneurs, coaching them, but also learning from them and sharing ideas on what makes them successful.
Wonderful.
So
you know,
I'm in a very, very good position there.
Yes. You know, Lee, I'm so honored to meet you and to be associated with you because for many years I have asked the question, how is it that Asian business owners, and I have observed this even from I was in Jamaica, living in Jamaica, and Jewish ethnic groups, their businesses are always legacies that's passed on. And I have been in some kind of a turmoil and saying, you know, why are other ethnic group or cultures having challenges in creating businesses that are legacies? I went home to Jamaica last year, and one of the companies down in Montego Bay, that business is called Pagoda, and it's been there since I was a child. The difference now, it's like a fourth generation that is still running the business. And I said, wow, look at that, you know. I knew that kid when that kid was that age. I know that kid is running the business. So, you know, I am thankful that you have took the responsibility to help us see the bigger picture and to help guide us in a meaningful direction where we can create legacies, not only make money, but create legacies that we can pass on.
Well, thank you, and you know, that's an interesting observation. As we've studied very affluent families, you know, we started saying, all right, what are those families that have been successful multi-generationally? You look at families like the Vanderbilts, for example. When you really understand the Vanderbilts and what happened to them, when Cornelius Vanderbilt, who was the original wealth creator, when he died in 1887, he was the wealthiest man in the world. He was the Bill Gates of his time, or, you know, I mean, he was the Warren Buffett of his day, whatever you want to refer to it, but he was the wealthiest man in the world. And so you contrast him with, say, like the Rothschild family that grew up in the ghetto in Germany, and what's the difference between those two families? Well, if you look at the Vanderbilt, if you fast forward to the 1980s, early 1980s, let me think that again, early 1970s, excuse me, like 1972, at the very first family retreat, the very first since Cornelius died, so 1887, family had never gotten together as a collective family in all those years as an official family reunion until, according to their own records, until the 1972. And at that meeting, if you read the there's a book by one of the Vanderbilt family that talks about there were 120 different Vanderbilt families in attendance and not one millionaire amongst the bunch. So what happened to their fortune over the years? And then contrast that with the Rothschilds, and you ask yourself, what did they do differently? Well, let me tell you three or four things that they did that were different. And then let's start applying it to not Vanderbilts and Rothschilds, but how do we apply it to the Lee Browers and the Daphnes of the world, you know, that are entrepreneurs as well? Can we learn from them, and what are some of the things that we can learn? So from looking and studying the Rothschild family, number one, they met together every single year. So this became a tradition with them where they not only met together, but they shared the information that they learned. In other words, really think about it, they had a family bank or a family treasury that consisted not only of financial wealth, but also intellectual and experiential wealth. So even though they sent Nathan to London and they sent another brother to Paris and they sent another brother to Brussels, even though they were spread out, they would still get together and say, what's working for you? How can we do more of that? What's working for you? So there was that constant bond of getting together and remembering who they were. So they met on a regular and ongoing basis. The second thing is they shared the information that they learned. Third thing was that they didn't just give them money. They loaned them the money to get started. So it wasn't like a gift from Dad. It was actually a joint venture where the family worked together, and everybody together, they were better. By working together, they were able to help each other. When you look at it, it's interesting that you brought that up. I haven't really looked at it the same way that you've looked at it in terms of mentioning Asian families or Jewish families. But it centers down to, and that coincides with what we've discovered in working with entrepreneurs worldwide, is that what allows businesses to grow is what I refer to as, and in strategic coach, where we coach, we call it a bigger future. How do we have that bigger future, a future that goes beyond our business? So if I have that bigger future, so these families that come over, their bigger future isn't just to make this business work. It isn't just to have a livelihood. Their bigger future is how can we, as a Rothschild, how can we as a Bauer, how can we as a Hudson, how can we build something that's going to live beyond us? So you have a bigger future, bigger picture. And this comes into play all the time. For example, I just met with a very, very successful business. They have two sons in the business. They were offered lots and lots of money to sell the business. So the father had a meeting with the two boys and said, should we sell this business? The first question out of the boys' mouths, and they're now in their late 30s, early 40s, the boys, and the first question was, well, how much do we get? Okay, so they went, well, how much do we get?
Right.
And so then there became kind of a dispute why one brother would get more than the other brother, because he was younger and he had done some more work and had invested back in the business. And so the family started to pull apart at this particular event. Imagine, though, that if the family would have had a bigger future, why are we building this business? What is the purpose of this business? Is it so that we can make a bigger impact on the world? Is it so that we can have something that will, you know, that will do good for this world? So it becomes a cause-driven vision of what they're doing. And it's not just to build the business up and sell it, because what does that do? We let that destroy that. Is to do some, if that family had that, then they wouldn't sit around and say, should we sell the business? How much do we get? The question would be, do we sell our business? If we sell this business, will it allow us to achieve a bigger future faster and better? Will it allow us to have a greater impact? And if it doesn't allow us to have a greater impact, that we can get the greater impact by just maintaining the business, then we keep it. But if it does allow us to make a bigger impact, then we sell it. But it's not a matter of what do I get and what do you get, because that's where it starts to do with the family. So I would say, first and foremost, I'm starting a business. Why am I starting it? Not what am I starting it, not what I want to achieve, not how big do I want it to make, not how much money do I want to make, but what's the big why for me? Where can I make a difference? And that's what's going to separate one entrepreneur from another in the future, because with the Internet, with technology, businesses and what they offer the consumers become, you know, going to be very hard to separate yourself from everybody else. How do you separate yourself from everybody else? They will support your passionate big why if they understand what
that's
it is and how it's working.
That's
so
right.
That's the first thing. Get a big
that's
why.
That's right. Yeah, can I just interject here, Ali, because I listen to what you say, and I'm thinking, you know, the question that we as entrepreneurs now need to jot down. So for those people who are building, because you always hear out there a lot of teachings about building and have an exit strategy in mind. However, as I listen to you, I think we need to think about, you know, why are we building it, and look at it as we are building it for our children. So our exit strategy would be for the next generation of Browers coming up and as it goes on. And this is such a great insight, not to keep selling on, because you give kids the money and really they're not putting it to any good use. So it's really beneficial to have them understand the importance of the legacy. So this is great information.
So let me kind of, can I put a little bit of a twist on that?
Yes, please.
If I can, because this is what our latest research is showing. So because of the work that we do, we have the opportunity many times to work with youngsters that are coming out of the project. So think of this on one end of the scale. You have these youngsters that are working in the projects, that are coming out of the projects, and they basically, from a material standpoint, have very little. On the other end of the scale, we're working with some of these children of some very, very affluential families. They're the children that were born on third base, and their family's trying to convince them that they actually hit a triple. And, so it's not going to happen. But what's really interesting is when you compare those two together, one of the things that I found is that some of the individuals coming out of the projects don't even know what the word future means. They have no concept of future. What is the future? Right. There is no future. They can't see a future. So therefore, they're making decisions in the moment. Mm-hmm. And imagine them making decisions when you're not considering the consequences. So they make very poor decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, they've had a spirit of entitlement, interestingly enough. But that spirit of entitlement, when you come out of the projects, may be 2, 3, or 4 generations of a rich uncle. Mm-hmm. And that rich uncle may be Uncle Sam. Contrast that at the other end of the scale, and you have the same thing where you have 2 or 3 generations of a very affluent grandpa or family that has created this for them, but they are paralyzed by the same thing, because what is the future of someone where money is no object? What is their future? They really don't understand future as well, because anything they want, anything that they can write a check for, they can get.
That's right.
It's what they can't write a check for that they can't, that becomes the powerful thing. But so ends of the spectrum are feeling very entitled, and we feed into that as a society. So we feed into it by saying on the poverty side of things, those kids aren't worth it because they're just, they really don't understand the value of anything. They've never been brought up right, And then we look at the other end of it and we say they're spoiled rotten. They don't know how to spend money. They don't do anything like that. And so our attitudes and the attitudes of those that influence these have a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm,
so I've now started to take a different look at it, and I started thinking about the void of leadership that we have throughout the planet right now at all levels, at the highest levels in government, at all the way down into our business, to our families, where we're starting to confuse great leadership with good management. Our politicians try to manage the votes for the next election. They've lost sight of that bigger future that we talked about earlier, because they're willing to do what they have to do now to get votes. They start campaigning the day after they're elected. And so that ability to hold on to that big future. So just like these people that, just like the two groups that we just talked about, not having that bigger future is absolutely essential. So let's take a different look at these two generations. And let's say this. What if these generations, what if these kids that are born in absolute poverty, and what about these kids that are born in absolute luxury? What if the reality is that at a time in this world when we have such a void of leadership, that imagine some of the strongest people I know are those that came out of poverty and overcame poverty to go out and get an education and become one of the strongest leaders that there can be. Maybe we should start looking at this next generation as a royal generation. And these youngsters that are being born in these families, what's the real wealth there? Look at the successes, the characteristics, the experiences that their ancestors have had. If they could capture those experiences and learn from them and stand on their shoulders, perhaps what we're talking about was mingled in with these struggling kids at both ends of the spectrum are those great leaders. And let's stop talking to them about being overprivileged and not being able to learn and not being able to spend, and let's start saying, how can we teach them entrepreneurial principles? Principles where they're willing to take calculated risk and not be paralyzed because they're afraid that they'll be the one that blows grandpa's fortune. How can we take a kid from the other side
and give them a vision of the bigger future so they really understand what future is, and the strength and the tools to be able to overcome the obstacles that they have. Imagine how strong that they would be, and imagine how much our society, our world needs leaders. Maybe in both of these instances, their circumstances are there for those that can overcome them to be the strongest leaders that this world has ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to take a different look at it. Instead of talking about how bad they are, about how weak they are, I'm saying in that bunch are the greatest leaders that will ever come up and rise. Let's find them. Let's create the pathway to create those for them.
Guidance. Because, Lee, as you're talking and I'm looking back and I mean, I haven't had a conversation as sophisticated as you have just laid it out. But a lot of times when I speak with teenage groups, and especially in the inner cities and in the projects, I mentioned that if people would take them and mentor them to channel their energies in the right direction, those people that pushing drugs on the street corners, they are entrepreneurs. So why not guide them and train them to harness their entrepreneurial skills in a legal direction? Because they want to do better. And they'll do better if they get the guidance. But a lot of times people just give up on them and think that they are not in a position to do better. But the leadership and the guidance is what we want. We can look at the rappers and a lot of them that are doing different things and they make the money and they're not guided properly, and that's why the money, they blow it like that. So I enjoy the work that you are doing and helping to educate us. So if it's even one, what we get one and then get another one, but the message gets out and the work can be done in these young people.
Yes. Now, let me give some hints. I assume that this is very good that we're talking about this. I don't know how this impacts your audience, but let me talk for just a second to them about what some, if I'm running a business and I'm going to be successful as an entrepreneur, what are some of the entrepreneurial principles that will allow me to be successful? So let me kind of give you some of the first things that we start with our coaching. So people that I coach are already successful in terms of running a business. And but they could run it better, but the business runs them. They become an entrepreneur because most of them are seeking freedom. Mm-hmm. They want freedom from so that they can have freedom to. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for freedom. They want to be able to call their own hours. They want to choose the relationships that they want to have. They want to choose when they work and how to work. And, they want to be able to not have a lid on the amount of money that they can make. They'd like to be able to open that up and be able to see more. And so their entrepreneurial spirit, when they come in with high hopes, they want to be free from the shackles that regulations create for them, free from the shackles of what having to work for somebody else's schedule, from the shackles of having to be, the relationships that somebody else is creating. They want to be able to have that freedom for themselves. So they begin business, but then all of a sudden they wake years later and they go, wait a second, I did this to be free, but yet I worked the longest hours. I'm the one that comes to when there's a problem. It's my money that's at risk, nobody else at risk. It's, what happened to that freedom that I was searching for? When they reach that point, that's when I start working with them. And so when you're working with them, the first thing that we teach them is there's an entrepreneurial time system. And if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, you have to reinvent your time system. So break the entrepreneurial time system into days. Break them into three categorical type of days. One is a free day. The second is a focus day. And the third is a buffer day. Now, this is very important.
What's the third, Lee?
Buffer day, B-U-F-F-E-R.
Okay.
I'll take three of them in just a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
A free day is a 4-hour period of time when you do not do anything that relates to your business, nothing. Mm-hmm. You do not check your email. You do not answer business phone calls. You do not read business books, go to business meetings. You are completely freed. You disconnect the umbilical cord of all your electronic devices that are bringing you business information, and you fully and then totally stay free. And that's a 24-hour period of time. If it's less than 24 hours, it is not a freedom. Mm-hmm. Now, some of our entrepreneurs, a good majority of our entrepreneurs, when they come to us, have never had a free day. They've gone on vacations, but they've got their phone with them. Their children are saying, come on, let's go do this. Just a second, son. Just a second, daughter. Let me finish this conference call first. And so while we're there, I've got to stop and visit with so-and-so. And while we're there, I've got to stop and visit with so-and-so. The purpose of free days is not a reward. Most of the time when we take time off, it's because I've earned it. I'm exhausted. I've got it. I now have earned it. You're afraid to take free days because what will your employees say if see you taking time off? They won't understand that. So you have all these reasons why you don't take free days. And imagine, I've had people come in that have never, ever had a free day in their entire working life. And for the first time, we start giving them free days. The average person that we coach has had very few free days on an annual basis. The average person at the end of 3 years has around 140 free days per year, and their income has tripled.
Wow.
Because, you see, if any day can be a work day, then you're always going to work on those days, and you'll put off today so you can do it tomorrow because tomorrow is a work day. So let's talk about a focus day. So a focus day is where you devote your time and attention to those activities that are generate the greatest results for you over the next 90 days. So how do I stay focused on that? So that is, again, a 24-hour period of time, but it breaks it down into that 80% of your normal work day. So if I normally work 10 hours a day, then 8 hours of that day is going to be devoted to focusing on those activities that are going to generate results for me over the next 90 days. Now, by doing that, what happens is that, have you ever got ready to go on a trip, for example, and it's you're going to leave at 4 o'clock. You know that you're not going to be able to be in touch with your officer. You know you're not going to be able to get things done. And so what happens to get closer to that 4 o'clock hour is it's amazing how much you can get done in the hours right before you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So by putting a wall around your focus day activities, you put a wall around those activities and say, I got to get it done in this time frame. All of a sudden, your performance increases. You learn how to delegate. Even if you don't have employees, in today's world, you have resources like Elance.com, Guru.com, Employee123.com. You've got all these different resources where you can outsource to extremely skilled people where it's not your unique ability, which we get to in just a second, but unique ability is the critical thing. So on those focus days, I'm doing those activities that are passionate to me, that are the ones that give me enjoyment, and the ones that I'm the very best at. In other words, my unique ability. And discovering your unique ability is key to success. And so those days, so if the free days are for rejuvenation, they're not reward. They're critical to success. It rejuvenates your entire mind. It gets you started. You come back in your most creative period. You're not worn down where you're the least creative. You're fresh, you're invigorated, and you go. It's essential, not a reward. It's essential to success. Mm-hmm. Now you move into focus days. That is for productivity. So free days are rejuvenation. Focus days are productivity. Now you go to buffer day. Buffer days are all those other days when you prepare for a focus day so that they can be absolutely effective, and you prepare for a free day so they can truly be a free day, and you prepare through education and learning and increasing your capability and having, you know, sessions with your team or putting things together that fall out of the scope of that. So cleaning up messes, anything like that becomes a buffer day. So one of the key elements to entrepreneurial success is developing your own time system where you can create walls around those activities so that you're able to do those things that you do best and to protect yourself, to protect your confidence so that you're able to move forward.
Wonderful. Give me a break, Lee, here. I want to remind the listeners, the people in the chat, you are welcome to call with your questions. Tina Lopez, thank you for coming. I think you're joining us from Florida. You two are from Awesomeness Fest. Thank you for joining this morning. I want you to call in with your questions for Lee. You do not need to wait for the end of the conversation. You may do so by calling 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. If you want to type your question in that little box below, for those of you in the chat room, please go ahead and do that. Ali, I have a question for you. If you are doing your business 5 days a week, do you still highly recommend that we still include a free day that we can substitute the Saturday or the Sunday when we are not doing our business for that free day?
Sure. Saturdays and Sundays in that regard would count as free day.
Okay.
And the important thing is that over time, the more rejuvenated you want to become, is what we've discovered and what our clients tell us, and I've learned myself, is that the more free days I can string together,
yes,
the more rejuvenating and the more powerful they become. And also, mm-hmm. it allows your team or those that work with you to grow because they realize and you realize that you really aren't as critical to that business as you think you are. It forces you to delegate better. It forces you mm-hmm. to give them better instructions. It forces you to train better. And when you give them that confidence and you give them that assurance and they can't run to you to get the answer, they really grow. And
it all
works together in that regard. And, you know, part of discovering is if you can find out what is your unique way, think about it in terms of Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra would just show up and sing. That's it. Mm-hmm. He did not move the piano on the stage. He did not sell the tickets. He did not rent the facility. He did not seat the people in the rooms. You know, he did not move the props around behind him. He just walked out, performed, and got off. That's mm-hmm. the way I want my business to be. All I want to do is sing.
Wow.
I want somebody else to do what their unique ability is. Let them sell the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Let them
mm-hmm.
build the stage props. Let them build the things for me. So imagine your life is where you, Daphne, all you do is what you do best. You do best, and I know what you do best.
Yes.
You have the ability for people to be able to connect with people one-on-one, looking them in the eyeball and letting them feel your heart, be able to give them extremely common sense advice that helps move them into different areas. Well, imagine mm-hmm. if you were structured in such a way that you could do that and everything else was taken care of for you, and that's all you were able to do.
And that's why I'm glad I met you.
Are you there?
Okay. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Are you not hearing me?
No, you were fading it out on me really bad. I didn't. So.
Okay. I was saying, and that's why I'm glad I met you, because you need to get me there, because I know that is what I need to do. I just am not there, and I need help getting there, because I was speaking with someone last Friday, and I said, I'm not trying to do everything. I just want to do what I do best, which is working with people, connecting with their hearts. And I want to have a team around me that can help me do that, and we can grow together.
And that's what we focus in on, is how do we keep entrepreneurs in their unique ability?
Mm-hmm.
How do we give them the tools to do that? It's important to have the bigger future,
mm-hmm.
and then it's important to motion. You know, I mean, the idea of motion, the idea of goal setting, for example. I believe in goals, but I don't believe in the way people use goals.
That's right.
So
we
try to teach them. If I've spoken before, you know, thousands of people at a time, and I said, ask them the question, how many of you have ever set a goal? And everybody raises their hands. I said, raise your hand if you've ever set a goal and not achieved it. And, of course, everybody raises their hand again. And then I say, raise your hand if you've set the same goal again and not achieved it. And they raise their hand, they start to chuckle, and raise your hand if you've ever set that same goal again and not achieved it, and they chuckle even more. Some people that study this estimate that less than 10% of all goals that are ever set, over 90%, in other words, of all goals that are set, never come to fruition.
That's right.
And our subconscious mind is really the driver behind our behavior. Our conscious mind is the guard that allows our subconscious to be able to operate and take in and try to figure out what it is that we want to know. See, because our conscious mind can handle about 20 bits of information a second. Mm-hmm. Our subconscious mind can handle about 11 million bits of information a second. So our subconscious mind is tasked with the responsibility of identifying those things that are important to us. So when I say, for example, I need to find more time, your subconscious mind goes to work immediately to tell you all the reasons why you need to find more time. It does not work on solutions. It works on identifying more of the reasons why you need to find more time. So I would encourage you, instead of saying, I need to find more time, say, even if it's just, can I find more time? And let it rest. Don't answer it with your conscious mind. Let it rest in your subconscious mind. Moves into, how can I? Then it moves into, can I move some other things around that allow me to have more time? Can I find somebody else that could take this over me, that would allow me? Instead of, I need to, can I? Now this monster brain that works, you know, that does 11 million things a second, it's looking for those things so that you can see the answers. When you just say, I need, it's looking for those things that tell you why you need. So I call that the empowering question. How do we identify the empowering question that's going to get us into motion and allow ourselves and to surrender to our subconscious mind to be aware and alert and looking for the ways that we're going to find the solutions?
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, let me check the chat room here. There are no questions yet. Somebody's typing. Go ahead, Tina, why don't you call in with your questions since it's taking you so long to type. The number is 646-915-8166. And my honored guest is Mr. Lee Brower. And he is the founder and owner of Empowered Wealth. And he's here just teaching us this morning how to do business. This is powerful information. So call in with your questions. 646-915-8166. Lee is with us for the first hour. We will speak until the other guests come. So we have 17 minutes remaining. So you want to grab his attention now and ask your questions. So Lee, where do we start as entrepreneurs? Because I know that not many entrepreneurs are doing what you are teaching us this morning, not unless we are clients of yours. And I have not yet met anyone who have laid it out this way before. So where do we start as entrepreneur? I know it's not the end for us.
A lot of people have contacted us or just benefited from us. You know, you can go to our website at www.empoweredwealth.com. We have lots of videos on there on different topics. You can go and look at it. Our CEO is a fellow by the name of Ron Nakamoto. He's an amazing blogger. He follows me around. He gets information, and he has good insight. So there's a lot of information that's there. The second thing is, too, on Amazon, or if your readers want to email me at lee@empoweredwealth, they can actually go to our website and they can order the book, The Brower Quadrant. We actually, in The Brower Quadrant, there's an exercise. When they order the book, if they just send an email to our company to info@empoweredwealth.com, let them know that they were on your show, then we'll give them, you know, instead of, I think the list price is like $18, but instead of $18, mm-hmm. we'll give it to them for like $12. And I'll make
all
sure
right.
my office knows that. Just for being, you know, so that way it, you know, it basically is at cost. And you can buy it at Amazon for $18. You can buy it on our site for about the same price. But anyway, but if you come in and say that you were listening to this show, then we'll sell it to you for $12.
Pick a caller, please, sir. Okay.
What's that?
We have a caller. So I just opened the line. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 5153. Would you state your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, my name's L.A. Davis. I'm in Florida right now. That's a 202 area code. I'm on my cell phone.
Yes?
Yeah, good program. I've met Mr. Brower and his daughter, I guess, between, I don't know, it was 2002, 3 or 4, somewhere around there, at Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, at an event called Money and You.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't know, about 6'8" black guy. Anyway, my question is, in your, I guess your 90-day meetings, I caught this part of the show so far, for consultations, do you cover the aspect of, I guess, wealth preservation that covers, how can I put this, possible attacks by people that want to steal your home, what real estate assets? I'll give an example. I've run across people who have one perfect example. A lady I know of. One night, somebody knocked on her door. Answered the door. It was a process server. And it was an eviction notice. Now, what puzzled her was, A, she owned the house. B, the house was already paid for. So how could she be getting evicted out of her home? To make a long story short, somebody in this age of technology, basically, I call it housejacking, basically manufactured some documents, worked with some type of lender and got the house refinanced without her knowing about it for $300,000. So the bank, since they hadn't received any payments, and she knew nothing about this because in her mind her house was paid off, they were foreclosing on the house. Now, she just happened to have the $10,000 in legal fees to get everything resolved, but it took over a year to do that.
Let me stop you a minute. So what's your question? Asking you, is that something that you focus on?
It's part of the wealth preservation.
Hold on. I just want to make sure. I don't want you to go down a path where it's not something Lee is focusing on. So I don't know if you got the question, Lee. Is that something that...
I understand the question. Let me just respond to it. I'm familiar with those kinds of things that actually happened to my parents. And, you know, there are sometimes dishonest people that are fraudulent. You know, you can protect yourself just like she was able to protect herself. But in our case, they made a mistake because they bought a pre-built home. And they bought land under two separate contracts. The person that sold them the pre-built home didn't transfer the deed to the real estate and use it as collateral on a loan. And he's in jail now. But it really created a real problem and almost caused a bankruptcy for his family. So there's fraudulent people that are out there. And I would say our specialty is not to work in that. I mean, when we start working with the clients and actually getting in depth with the clients, we protect the assets from frivolous lawsuits. We protect the assets from... people can't make unnecessary claims against it. You know, when we begin working, we do title searches to verify the property. And I think it's probably just a common practice that periodically you ought to just, it doesn't cost very much, you do a quick title search with a title company and make sure there are no liens on your property that shouldn't be there. Anybody can put a lien on a property. That's the unfortunate thing. Anybody can go down and put a lien, but it's not effective until you've been notified, except unless it's by, especially in Florida, by a government agent. A government agency can put a lien on. A municipality can put a lien, for example, on property in Florida and not even they don't even have to let you know. You can even sell the property once you open the title deed, and they can actually go after the new buyer. So there's some weird laws in every single jurisdiction. So all I can say is that you need to develop practice as homeowners. If that's a concern, then you should have a practice that probably once a year or so you should just do a quick title search. You just a quick, clean title search. You know, it doesn't have to be an in-depth one. And a title company will tell you, has anybody put any liens on this in the last little while? Has there been any new liens on it? And that would probably be the best way to cover that. But that's not really the topic of our coaching. But just if that helps you, then that's but that's really not the emphasis of where we really get into. You know, how do we take family businesses and get them to thrive, and how do you protect the assets? Basically, I'm a bridge builder. I build bridges that transport families' true wealth, not just their financial wealth, but all of the things that matter most to them: their family traditions, their values, the wisdom of their learning, the experiences, so that that can move forward into future generations. Because my experience has been, when I ask people when they hear the word wealth, what do they think of? They say land. They say money. They think net worth. They think of things. But if I ask them, do you have assets that you value more than your money? You mean, and they'll say, you mean like my family, like my health, like my beliefs and my, yes, exactly, my experiences and the learning from those experiences. Yes, I value those more. I wouldn't trade those for more money. So right. Those are things you wouldn't trade. And so we focus in on how do you get all of the things that matter most to you into the future generations. And obviously that includes things like your home. I mean, you know, things like that. So we try to encourage people to develop practices that will that protect themselves.
Okay. Well, thanks for the feedback, and I'll be in touch.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Nice talking to you.
That answered your question, sir?
Yes, it did. It did. Thank
all
you.
Right. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So any other questions from the chat room? Anyone else in the chat room have a question? This is your time. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Okay, I'll hand my phone back to you. And,
okay, well, you're going in and out on me again, Daphne. I don't know what you said your last time. So.
I'm saying I'll hand the microphone back to you.
Okay.
Are you... And we can begin to summarize, or any other thing that you want to talk about, you may do so now, and then we'll go into summarizing the conversation
today. Well, let me just say that in the book, I was starting to say before, that we have a process that we call the clarity experience. And this is where we start with most people. If people can get really clear on where they're going. So clarity brings energy. So if I'm getting clear about my bigger future and all of a sudden I have a purpose to my life and a passion and I can identify it, and most people always know that there's something bigger out there for them, but they don't know how to get it. So how do they get it? So we have a patented process that we take clients through that allow them to identify those things that are going to, their bigger future, the things that get them excited. And then from there we start building. And as the business, if they've got a business, how do we match the vision of the business with the vision of their personal vision, both together? And the reality is, is there a relationship between what I want to achieve personally, and is there a relationship between what I want the business to achieve? And then we actually try to get every employee and understand each team member, where do they want to go personally and individually? What's their bigger future? And what's the company's bigger future? And is there a relationship between those two? And if there is, then you develop an understanding that if I get to where I want to go, I'm actually helping the company get to where it wants to go faster. And if I can get the company to where it wants to go, then I'm actually getting me personally to where I want to go faster. And you try to, and you work with each member of the team so that they're all on board with that. And that way, all of a sudden, you become much more unified. You don't have everybody's focused in on achieving the biggest objective, the biggest picture, the things that they want to achieve. So I would say that if you can get the book, get into that, get into the clarity experience. That goes a long way if you'll take the time to follow that.
And what's the name of the book again?
The name of the book is The Brouwer Quadrant, and that talks about the four categories of wealth and how do you move those through the generations. And so you can get it. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it by contacting our office. Just go online, but send an email to info@empoweredwealth. Tell them that they were listening to the Daphne Clark Hudson Show, and then we offered a discount to the price at just making the price $12 for that book if they would like to order the book. So I
want to tell them what the website is: Empowered Wealth. empoweredwealth.com, and you're going to send your email to information@empoweredwealth.com. And
it's just info, I-N-F-O, just info. info@empoweredwealth.com.
info@empoweredwealth.com. Miles, I just gone in. Thanks. Oh, okay. All right. The person that's on there, I keep asking the chat room for questions. They say just call in. One person says, Tina says, in real estate, there are crazy hours. How do I find? Okay. This is her question. Apparently, she works real estate, and she wants to find out when your work is Saturday and Sunday. So she's asking Lee. She works real estate. It's crazy there. How does she find the free time?
Okay, well, that's a great question, Tina, and it's a question that's frequently asked, and because many times we're called to work many hours of the week or whatever our profession may call us to work on. So it's identifying for you and looking at your schedule. Schedule your free days first and set up systems. See, we tend to blame ourselves, but the reality is that with systems, W. Edwards Deming, the great business leader who's since passed away, used to say 94% of all failure is a result of the system. So the question you want to ask yourself is, how can I develop a system so that when calls come in, even if they're on my free days, they're responded to quickly, efficiently, and the people are taken care of appropriately? And then what systems can I have in place if I really understand my unique ability? Is it in showing the houses? Is it in being able to look at the houses and match it up with the right people? Is it being able to close? Really identifying the steps of your process and then getting those people that have their unique ability inserted in the appropriate steps of the process so that you're able to effectively stay in your unique ability more. And especially in the real estate business, it's important that you honor yourself, that you build your own confidence. So work your schedule. Maybe it's on a Monday or a Tuesday or Wednesday, but you block it off, but develop systems so that your callers or the people that are contacting you have a sense of satisfaction that they've been adequately taken care of. But they also understand, and I let my team know, that I let my clients know that I'm on a free day and that there is a system for them and that they're better off supported by allowing this to happen that way. And they actually become my best advocates. They really do. So it's just taking control, really understanding it. And I imagine that with a little bit of thought and asking the right questions in practice, you'll be able to work it out just fine. And certainly you're welcome to contact me and get any more ideas. I'm happy to respond to that as well.
And she thank you for answering her question.
My pleasure.
All right. And remember, you can reach out to Lee, even those people who are going to be listening from the archive, and you can you're going to get a discount on the book. I have to make sure I get my book autographed and all that good stuff. Okay, so listen, so what else would you like to tell us, Lee? We are 19 seconds. I'll give you time to close off our conversation so I can stay true and honor your time for coming on. So,
well, let me say this, that we talked about having a bigger future. Everything that we do with our clients and with ourselves is we always go big, which means that no matter what we're doing, no matter how tough it may be, we always begin in gratitude. When you're in gratitude, you become an attractant to greater opportunities and greater relationships. So develop that practice. Make it a consistent tradition that even when you're meeting with your clients or you're meeting with your team, that you always begin in gratitude. Even if it's just to share one positive experience you've had recently or something that you're grateful for, it will change your success and it will make you a great attractant.
Wow. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I tell you, I know after I read that book, there's a lot more that you're going to need to come and hear and talk about. So I honor you. I am grateful for you. I am so honored to know you and to be able to learn from you. I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful.
I am grateful that I got to spend some time with you on your birthday.
Yes, thank you so much, and give my love to your lovely wife and continued success in everything that you do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
And that is my other honored guest. Good morning. How are you, Miss Judy?
Good morning, birthday girl. How are you today?
I am wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I don't know whether or not you have got an opportunity to listen to Lee. If not,
of course.
You have. Okay. Wasn't he powerful?
Yes, he was. Yes, I really appreciate what he's up to. I don't know if you know this, Daphne, but my dad was a financial planner. And so I very much relate to what he's up to, and I love and appreciate this extra, I'm going to call it a step for lack of a better word, but this extra understanding that it's not just about protecting the now, it's about protecting the future and reframing possibility and you know, what are we here to do? Because that plays very much into what I'm up to. So it's really
wonderful.
Good work.
Well, good, wonderful, wonderful. I'm so honored that he was able to take time out of his busy schedule to invest in my listeners. And we have a Festa. I don't know if you remember Tina. Tina Lopez is in the chat room.
Hey, Tina, yay!
So, Judy, I thank you for coming on this morning and for getting ready to share your expertise. Tina says hi to you. Would you take the time, Judy, and just introduce yourself to the listeners? I must tell the listeners, Tina and Judy and Lee, I met at the Awesomeness Fest. So I'm sure you my listeners, you can say, well, you have to go to that event because I'm bringing you quality value. It's wonderful, wonderful. Judy, why don't you take this time and introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure, thanks. Well, I'll start out by just sharing that I am known as the Brandologist. So I work with people around their business mostly, but I help people really get their arms around their own fabulosity, their personal assets that really are the special factors that will build an unforgettable business, brand, and life. And I call it leaving a lasting legacy. So it's perfect. It ties perfectly into what Lee was speaking of, because we're really all about creating riches in every area of our existence. I started out.
Before you go into your business life, I want you to tell people about who you are, because we all connect with the individual, and when we can connect with the individual, then we are receptive to listening to their business. So why don't you tell them who you are as a person?
Yes, that's what I was just going to share. So to begin, when I was a little person. I love to ask people this when I do a seminar or workshop or speak in any area. My first question is, does anyone here remember being a teenager? Were you ever a teenager? So certainly we were all teenagers or about to be. I don't know about everyone else, but for me, being a teenager was a terrible, horrible experience. I was a misfit. I was a misfit from when I was a little kid, never felt like I fit in, and it was a very sort of torture-filled kind of existence for me because I was always this outsider. And it wasn't until I got to be older, which, gosh, I have so many experiences to share from when I was this tortured misfit, but basically that tie into any of this. So, for instance, when I was in sixth grade, I drew a picture. We had it, actually, it was third. This was a third grade example. I drew a picture. We had a test, and our test needed to be artfully drawn. So if three apples plus two pears equals what, we had to draw that. So I did so, and when the teacher, and I thought I did great, when the teacher handed out the tests, she held mine back. Well, clearly this meant, of course, right, that she was going to share what a gorgeous example of workmanship this was. And she held up my test, and she said to everyone in the class, "You see this test? This is how not to do it." And she humiliated me in front of the entire class. And I felt myself go from that very excited, just jubilant person and just completely deflate. And for me, it's a memory of kind of represents where I was in my life for many, many years. And I went on to become a very depressed teenager and young adult. I mean, I was always stifling who I was to be liked, to be approved of, to fit in, to not get yelled at by my mother, to have friends, whatever it was. And it was very difficult for me. It wasn't until I went to college, of all things, and I wanted to be a ceramicist and major in ceramics. I never told you this, Daphne. This is funny. But turned out that I was terrible, terrible. I wanted to be a hippie. I was a terrible ceramicist, and the teacher hated me, and I don't know why, but was not happy with me at all. I think it was my skill set. And I took a design class because it was required, an introduction to design. And I loved it, and it was easy, and I didn't feel like a misfit. I felt like I fit. And it was just the most incredible time. So I listened to my heart, and I switched majors, and I became a design major. And that's actually how I got involved in branding. I started to do visuals to help other people realize and visually express their businesses. Again, I decided I'm going to be a logo designer. I don't know why. I just thought it was cool. And I went to college and my university class, and I said, I'm going to be a logo designer. And the teacher said, well, you can't do that. And I said, well, why not? That's so odd. Why not? Why on earth can't I? And he said, well, no one is just a logo designer. So at that this time, and this is dating myself before computers, I went home and I did some research and I found this amazing company called Pentagram, which still exists. And what was their big thing back in the day? Logos. And I went to school and I said, that's what these guys do, and I'm going to do that too. And that's how I got started in branding, because I helped people create winning, award-winning logo designs and visuals for their businesses. And I helped them manifest visually what they were feeling in their hearts. So in order to do that, I really had to get into their heads and understand their vision, what it was they were out to do, how do we get a result? We understand what we're going for, and we then can create and manifest visually. And that's how I got into branding originally.
Okay. I want to interject here, because you said some powerful things, because I know that there are still students, young people, and even some now who very regular in their lives are told what they can and cannot do. And there are many people who don't survive and who do not have the strength like you do to say, oh, well, why can't I do that? I am going to do it. And this is why I have this platform here, to help to empower and encourage others. And I'm saying that to let you know that regardless of what other people are telling you, don't you give up on what you are carrying in your heart to do. Just keep following your heart. Know that sometimes it's even our relatives. But know that the vision does not belong to them. It belongs to you. And you have to believe in it. Because I listened with the passion by which Judy speaks about this. And I know, had it not been for her passion and belief in her heart, she would not be running a business today to do that. So I applaud you for following through on what you were called to do. So fast forward to now.
Well, Kat, if I may just break in for one moment, because I think this is really important for people to understand. It wasn't that simple for me, and it isn't for many of us. So, you know, please understand that this was hell, and I was suicidal for many years. And it wasn't until after my first divorce, where I really was waiting for this person to bring home happy. Hi, honey, I'm home. Here's your happy. And it didn't happen. And I was really on the edge. And it just so happens, it is a bit of a long story, won't tell it, but the bottom line is I was introduced to this category called personal development. And I went to a personal development class, and it literally changed my life in a matter of days. And I really got to see that there are other choices, and that I, against, you know, with all of that was going on and all this noise, I was making the choice at the end of the day, and I could make a different choice. And that understanding and that distinction truly was life-changing. And that happened when I was 28. So I was radically depressed from 11-ish to 28. And there is, if I had known that there was this other life on the other side, boy, would I have done that sooner. So I just encourage people to get the support they need to get them wherever they want to go, because it's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, so let's talk about how you work with business owners to help them to understand about accomplishing an unforgettable brand. A lot of times entrepreneurs think, when they speak here about branding, it's for big businesses and corporations. But, you know, what message do you have for entrepreneurs?
Right. Well, the thing for me that was so fascinating and still is to me is about my journey is that I learned that this being a misfit and all this stuff that I went through, isn't it interesting that what I grew up to really be great at is helping people understand and value exactly why it's worthy not to fit in. The only way to be unforgettable is to be yourself. There's no one else like you. Forget about that. You know, everyone else is taken. Be yourself. It's really about understanding who you are, embracing all of it, and then monetizing that as well. So Lee spoke it a little bit differently, right? He talked about
Judy. Let's just concentrate on you. I don't want to go back over what Lee says. Let's just concentrate on what you do to help them develop an unforgettable brand. Because they can go back and listen to the archive to hear what Lee said.
Right. Well, many people speak about being a brand, like you said. It's a vision. It's an understanding that I don't need a brand. A brand is for big business. What is it anyway, and why is it important? Here's what's important about a brand. You already are a brand. It's kind of like gravity. You may or may not think you are. You may or may not think it exists, but it does. You is, and you might as well go with it. So what I help people do is really get their arms around what makes them different, what makes them special, what are their fortes, how has their journey until this day, and then beyond this day, how has that made them special? What is that equipping you to do best in this world? And then how do you translate that into your business so that you're having more fun, there's less stress, there's more ease, and there's more money, more revenue?
You know, Judy, I've heard, I've gone to networking events and even some conferences, and when you ask people about their brand, they quickly grab their business cards in the times of trifold brochures. Trifold brochures, they used to pull that out. And they think that their logo is their brand. Would you speak on that a bit, please?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great point to bring up. So one of the things that's very important to know about a brand, and is fascinating how our culture has sort of messed up this understanding and the definition. A logo, I think of a brand as the pie. The brand is your footprint for everything. It's your footprint for your business. It's your footprint for what your logo would look like. It's your footprint for your systems. It's your footprint for your deliverables, everything. It's the pie. It's the whole pie. Your logo is just a teeny little slice of that pie. Everything that you're up to, that's why I love branding so much. The brand, when you look at it holistically, the entire pie, you're going to come away with very different conclusions than if you segment each and every slice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very different outcomes.
So it isn't true that it's more important to have clarity on your brand and message before you think of a logo?
Well, if you're working with the right people, this should all happen sort of in concert. So a logo, as well as your message, is a different iteration, a different translation of what you represent. So some people say that your brand is your promise. I don't think of it quite that way. Your brand, your logo, it's more of it's a visual representation, right? It's a visual representation. So what is it that you're up to, and then how can you visually communicate that? That's it.
Yeah, but before...
How can you visually... Sorry?
Yeah, I was going to ask, though, for entrepreneurs, because I my intention here is to simplify it for entrepreneurs. All of what you're saying is correct and true. However, there are many entrepreneurs who don't even have the first piece together because they don't understand the importance of having clarity about their message and all of that. So before you meet with someone like you, don't you need to have clarity? Because if I don't have clarity, how are you going to be able to help me in the right direction?
Well, this is what's so important. So what happened for me is I was the kind of designer, and still am, that when I'm working with you, I won't just say, oh, you're a dentist. Great. Go away now. I can make your logo for you. That's not how it gets done. So what is important to have is a relationship with your designer. Listen, you're supposed to do what you do well. You're not supposed to design your logo. Unless you're a logo designer, and even then you should probably have someone else because we're lousy clients for ourselves. What you want to do is have a conversation with your vendor, and your vendor, if they're not asking you questions like, what is it that you're out to do in the world? What is the transformation that you provide? Where do you want to be in a couple of years? Where do you want to see yourself when you sell this business, should you decide to? What feeling do you want people to have from this logo? There's a myriad of questions. It's not a simple, hi, I need a logo. Okay, great, I'll be delivering that in 3 days. That is not the process.
How do you say that, Judy? Because there are lots of people who are looking and they see that free card advertised, they quickly go on order, and they are not having these conversations prior to ordering this material. So this is why it is important for them to have something jot down somewhere so that when they make that call with a consultant, they are not caught with their pants down because they are being asked. They are being asked thought-provoking questions.
Well, Daphne, let me just butt in for 1 minute and share with you one thing you have to understand. What you're talking about, if somebody orders a pretty picture off of a card service, we're talking about very different phases in the life of your business. So when you first start a business and you think, all I need is a card, that's fine, get a card. But understand that your card and your logo, your card is very, very important real estate in your business. Very. Whether it's digital or print. So when you decide to go from hobby to business and get really serious and you're ready to invest in this, that's when you want to have these sort of meaningful conversations with your vendor.
Just ask you a question, and I ask it out of respect here. Why get a card if you want a card if the card is not selling you? Isn't it better to stay without a card till you get one that represents you?
Well, there's a couple of arguments for this. It's a great question, Daphne. So there are a couple of arguments for this. One is if you're ready, if you think you want to get started and you don't have a card, a strategy that I love my clients to use is when they're in an event and someone asks them for their card, you simply say, you know what, my cards are at the printers. I haven't gotten them yet. So let me have your card, and I will get back to you. That's one. Part two, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very effective because now you have a card, and you are much more in control of reaching out to that person rather than waiting for them to reach out to you. Very big distinction. Mm-hmm. However, as I said, there are various stages in a business, and unless you're willing to really invest in a decent representation, there are many iterations. I mean, you could go to 99 Designs and get one there, but it's a different service. So, again, if we're talking about this holistic look at building your business, the approach will be very different than just getting a card together. The other part of it, Daphne, is that the world is moving much faster than it did 20 years ago, and you're not going to design a card for the rest of your life. Your business will evolve, and your graphics and visuals will evolve with it, just as your website will. You're not locking into something for the next 20 years. So what may serve you today may not and will not, I would say, serve you in 18 months, certainly 3 years.
Hold on. There's a question in the chat room. Tina asking, I think it's a question. Hold on. Tina says, thank you for sharing your personal journey. It's very inspiring. I have a card, but what sells me is myself. That's a statement she made. Would you like to respond to that?
Well, that's a great statement. So let's be very clear that a card or any visual, you know, your website, whatever we're talking about here, yes, whatever other means of getting in touch with you, a representation we're talking about, of course, at the end of the day, you are your best salesperson. However, you always want to have materials that will represent you well. It's a representation. So you want to make sure that you are in alignment. You want your card to be in alignment with who you are now. Here's how you kind of understand that. When we first get our card, think about how excited you are. Right, Tina? You get your card, you're like, woohoo, I love this card, and you start giving it out. A year and a half later, you're like, ugh, yeah, here's my card. I really need a new one. It doesn't fit you anymore. That's when you know it's time for a new card.
Okay.
You have now grown into a new person.
Mm-hmm. She said something. However, I don't want this to be a conversation about business cards. I want to... Okay, she said thank you. That's true. All right. I want us to talk about... I want to keep the conversation around brand. I don't really want to just single, and we're kind of going off on a tangent here on business cards. What compiles a brand? Give us all the compiles of brand.
So if you think of a pie, right, and you think of an entire business, you think of all of the elements of your business. To say it very simply, I will break it into four areas.
Yeah.
It's your message. You hit on that very briefly. We'll talk about that. It's your model.
Mm-hmm.
It's the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the money. How do you structure bringing in income, revenue? Mm-hmm. And if you think about all of the things that we could possibly discuss today, they will all go under those four headings.
Yeah. What?
So
we,
rather than...
We talked about the message and everything already. So I think you can go into model now.
Perfect. So this is why it's a really exciting, exciting time to be in business and to be doing what I do and why I love it so much. We live in a time where many of the business models that have existed for the last 50 plus up to 100 years, they don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a paradigm shifting time. It's partly why we have had the collapses that we've had. Get it, collapse, it's not working. So we are all in a beautiful, beautiful period of reinvention, invention, and paradigm shifting. There are many models of doing business. The ones that many people, what happens? Here's what happens, Daph. When we are embarking on a business, we are excited, we are fueled by our passion, we are ready to go, and we just get out there and we start swinging. And many businesses that I work with have been doing that, it's going great, but all of a sudden, 3, 4, 10 years in, they hit a wall. It's not working anymore. They're overworked. They're working too hard. They're overwhelmed. They're exhausted. Why? Because the way they've always been doing it isn't working. And rather than change it, they keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Now is the time for us to look at different. Now is the time when we start not doing well. We look up around and we see what other people are doing and we start mimicking rather than following our own intuition and heart. Rather than trying new things that may work in another industry that could work in ours. For instance, I love to use this as an example, the drive-through window. Where did that start? It basically started in banking, but then McDonald's stole it, borrowed it, integrated it, shared it. Now you can do drive-through dry cleaners and drive-through alcohol and drive-through flowers and drive-through, right? All sorts of things. Speaking of flowers, when 1-800-Flowers came on the market, people thought they were crazy. No one will buy flowers over the phone. It's a huge, huge, huge business. Omaha Steaks. Who's going to buy a steak over the phone? Online. But they do. So what is happening out in the world that you can morph and integrate into your business? You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you can look at other wheels and borrow some of their spokes. And that's why now is a critical time to look at your business model and make sure it's the best fit for you, your lifestyle, your intention, the brand you want to create, and the legacy you want to leave. If you want to leave a legacy that's about making a difference, you're going to structure your business in a very different way than if that's something that's not at all important to you, that that's not a value for you.
As an entrepreneur, Judy, how does your business model differ from your calling and purpose, if it does?
It should be integrated. So, a working mom, think about this. There are a lot of moms in business today. Moms may want to only spend 3 hours a day on their business. So their structure for their business is going to be very different than a retail location that's a brick and mortar and open all day. There's so many different ways to do business. And now with the advent of online commerce, it adds another twist as well. But what's very exciting is that there's so many ways to do business that, you know, for instance, I work with a lot of creatives and healers. So the world of doctoring.
A lot of what?
Creative people.
Okay.
And a lot of healers. A lot of people in the doctoring and medical businesses related to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Industry is completely altering. Right? People who are creative think differently. They're not so linear.
Yeah.
And they're very exciting for me to work with because it's very exciting to take their ideas and translate that into a model for success.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no – the car business needs to be reinvented. I just bought a car, and we were talking about it in the sales room. It's an outdated model of business that has to be reinvented in order for the auto industry to survive in America.
Yeah, when we are entrepreneurs, though, how can we capitalize on that? Because we are hearing you mention all the big corporations, and all of a sudden we begin to draw into our shells and we are thinking, oh, well, that does not apply to us because I am only as such and such and as such and such and as such and such. How does entrepreneurs learn from all of those big corporations, those big insights? How can we incorporate it in what we are doing?
Well, entrepreneurs actually have a much better opportunity because entrepreneurs have the ability to be much more flexible and light on their feet than a big business. And when I work with people, we start out with some very particular exercises and processes to help identify very important attributes, right? These are your unforgettable assets, remember, that make you fabulous and that we then translate into this model that we're speaking of. And I call this process, it's called your sacred vows. And what a vow is, you know, I love that science now supports this, but we all come in with particular DNA that we have inherited. It's in our genes, right? I was not built to be a surgical nurse. I would die if I had to look at blood. I was not built to be, you know, a laborer. My body wouldn't handle it. There are certain things that we can't do, and we have a proclivity. We are inclined to do other things. So let's understand what that is through our vows. So we also then have many years, or whether it's a few or many, that we are creating our own beliefs. Mm-hmm. Once we get in touch with all of that and what that is, through our sacred vows process, vows stands for our values, our opportunities, which are always changing, so we have to revisit that often, our weaknesses, very important to understand what we're not good at for a variety of reasons.
So
some
you
of those,
say, values.
Opportunities. Weaknesses. And strengths. That's what your sacred vows are.
Okay.
If you can make a list of at least 50 in each of those categories, we can then pull not only your... We'd look at a number of other things, but it's really a chance to check in with who you are, what you're best at, and then who are you attracting, who is the right fit for you to work with, and then how would we reach them? What's the best offer? What is the best service? What is the best product that we can provide putting together all of this now?
So what I've took away from what you have said here, regardless of the size of our entrepreneurial venture, mm-hmm. we can all learn and expand from the lessons and the examples of the larger businesses and corporations. Because if we are looking to create legacies and all that, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, we have to think big and learn those lessons. Because a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we keep going out there and want to reinvent and do this over and over and reinvent and all of that. And there are so many lessons there that we can learn on to learn from, and shorten the learning curve to build on our business. So that's great information there. You are never too small to learn from the big guys. All right, so your next point was marketing.
Yes, and I just want to say one thing about that, Daph, is a combo of that. So you always want to check in internally. Your best source is inside yourself. And then also check in externally, right? That's the big guys and what other people are doing. And then merge the two. That's where the answer lies.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. The other thing entrepreneurs always say, marketing, I ain't got no money to do that.
Right. I love that. So this is where it's time to get creative
mm-hmm.
and to have fun. So the thing about marketing that is so interesting is how many people, I wish we could just have everyone raise their hand, how many people listening hate marketing, they just cringe at the term, and they don't ever want to think about it, much less spend money on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Others mm-hmm. realize that this is a worthy investment, and they're happy to do it. What's the mm-hmm. difference? The difference is that some have learned how to embrace and enjoy and, again, build a unique marketing effort that is a perfect expression of themselves. What do I mean by that? If you are someone who doesn't like to speak in front of groups, why on earth would you then go out and be a public speaker as a marketing strategy? Wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
If you are someone who, like myself, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a serious introvert. I do not do well at large events where there's hundreds of people mingling and meeting each other. I will be standing on the corner, as you have witnessed, with my water, and I will connect with one or two people. However, I love speaking in front of groups. So, network. I'm sorry?
So you go and you lay on the beach.
Yeah, that's right. So networking in those kinds of situations are not the best fit for someone who is an introvert or doesn't enjoy large groups. However, if I am part of a small group and can be get very deep with people in a smaller venue, that's a fit for me. So that's what I ask you to ask yourself or any business owner. What is the best expression? Where are you most comfortable? Where do you shine? And that's how you want.
You know yourself. A lot of times we don't know who we are really. And we have to spend time to get to know who we are. Because unless we know who we are, we won't know what meets our needs. So that's good, valuable information. All right. I need to take a minute here. I want to remind the people in the chat room that they can call in, and I need to have a word from our sponsors.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
And I also want to remind you to call our cruise consultant, Todd Olinda Begg, at 203-818-8174 or 203-539-0094. She is the cruise consultant who is working on the cruise that we are putting on for the breakfast feeding program at the Carmel Moravian School in Westmoreland, Jamaica, West Indies. The cruise will take place June the 14th through the 22nd, and the cruise will be on the Norwegian Epic. You call Olinda Begg, and she will give you all the detailed information. We are truly looking and soliciting for your support. So we look forward to seeing you there on the cruise. Again, call Todd Olinda Begg, 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. And if you have not yet done so, please visit my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com, on my mailing list so you can be frequently informed of all the things I'm doing with and become a valuable part of my network. Again, I look for you on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. Just connect with me there so we can help to make a difference over the world. Call in the number to call. You can ask any of your branding questions from my expert, Judy Winslow. She's joining us out of Florida, and she is the creator of Unforgettable Brand. Now back to you, Judy.
Daphne, you just shared a phone number, and it was breaking up. You may want to say it again. It was an 888 number.
No, I didn't, but it was 8.
Oh, it must have been. Okay, it was on the, sorry.
818. It's 203-818-3174. 203-818-3174. And that's the second number for our cruise consultant, Todd Olinda Begg. Thank you so much, Judy, for letting me know that.
Perfect. It's a great project.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's go back now. Now we talk about the other M word, which is money. How does our brand fit into that? How does that fit into our brand?
Well, this is a very important aspect, of course. We cannot have a true business if we're not creating revenue and making money. So
that's
we
right.
want to make sure that there is a fit, not only for today, but for the future, of how you're going to be creating money, how your model, message, and marketing all fit together to give you the result that you're looking for. And some people, you know, that's different for everyone. So someone may be starting a business and they want to bring in an extra few hundred dollars. Some people want to bring in a few million dollars. So in order for us to really have clarity, right, we keep speaking about clarity, we need to have clarity in all of these areas with many, as we're
That's
touching
right.
on today, there are many subheads.
Mm-hmm.
We have touched on a very teeny representation under each subhead. So money is the same thing.
Right.
For instance, I was working with a client yesterday who is ready to crash through the million-dollar mark and has been stuck at like, you know, 79999. And For him to break through the million-dollar mark is very different than what we also are speaking about, which is what will it take for him to get from $1 million to $5
million.
So
right.
There's today's needs, and then there's your future needs. And
that's
all
right,
of this,
the big picture.
Right? So we need to consider all of that. And he is in a technology-driven business, so some of what will happen in 5 years, it doesn't even exist yet. So how do you plan for that?
Right.
So when we're talking about the money piece, there are many things to consider, but the first place to start is what to you is what is the desired result, and then reverse engineer how to get there. So we will then know what actions need to happen now to get us where we want to go. What I ask people to do is to break it down into 90-day segments so we're not overwhelmed and we can be very present with what needs to happen now.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I love it, I love it, I love it. Listen, we only have 14 minutes remaining in this segment. And I want you all to grab the phone, questions, and for those of you in the chat room, write your questions. Write in that little box below, and the number to call in is 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. Judy, I want to ask you to begin to summarize right now, and after you do that, if you would please tell the listeners how they can reach you for further follow-up after you do your summary, please.
Okay. So I guess what I want to leave everyone with, well, there's two things. First is to imagine this as a, first I ask you to think about yourselves as a pie, right, this big pie in these different slices. Now I'm going to suggest that you consider that your business and your life are kind of like a garden. So when you, it's like you come upon some soil, a piece of dirt, a place where you want to create something, and it's filled with leaves and tin cans and garbage. What do we have to do? We have to clear the space. We have to make room. We have to make sure that our soil is ready to receive. You want to do the same thing, the foundational work that will make your garden fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that together. Get help. You don't want to do that alone. Then you're going to decide what kind of garden you want. Do you want an English garden? Do you want a very structured garden? Do you want a walking path? What do you want in your garden? These are the elements to your business that have to be addressed before you start building. And then we're going to want to choose our plants and start to plant them and then water them, fertilize them, and have them grow. This is kind of the cycle that we're speaking of today. In very different terms, of course, but really that's what we're up to. So depending on where you are in the cycle, you know, once you are now overgrown in your garden, what do? We have to cut back. We have to start over. We have to take some things out and put some new things in. So think of yourself in this cycle and where you need support and then get it. That's A. B is really what I'm sharing with people and what my mission is for people to understand that everything you need to have your business be successful or start a business, you already have. You already have it. Let's figure out what it is that you possess, translate it into a winning formula for yourself. Understand where to put your energy, where to put your focus, where to put your time, and then who do you need on your success team to create this truly unforgettable brand for yourself, for your family, for your future, and certainly for your legacy.
Beautiful.
And the last piece is, of course, you can find me at unforgettable2tsbrands.com, unforgettablebrands.com. And I'm here to answer any questions. We have classes and private work and workshops and seminars, and, of course, I do speak all over as well. So how might I support you today is the question.
We have 11 minutes remaining, so call in with your questions or write it in the chat room there. Any questions about branding? We still have a few more minutes that we can do. I like your scenario, Judy, about the garden, and especially the pruning when you're overgrown in the garden, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs have been overgrown or overlapped. And nobody wants to prune. They just keep going there, and you can hardly get through to go any further in the garden, but there's no pruning going on. So I like how you lovingly laid that out for us. That's really, 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 really powerful. That was really powerful. We have nine and a half minutes remaining. Is there anything else you had in your mind that you wanted to talk about that we did not touch on?
Well, I would like to share, if I could, we certainly have time, I guess, for a couple of success stories. And maybe people can see something for themselves in stories with people I've worked with. What do you think?
All right, go ahead.
So I'm going to start with one who is in the healer category. She is an amazing acupuncturist, one of the best I've ever experienced, and I've certainly worked with many. We had a chance meeting years ago in Colorado, and she called me a few years later, and we started working together, and I knew that she had been struggling for many years and that I could help her. So after we worked together for a bit, here's what happened. We identified, as we spoke about earlier, guys, this what would be the best use of her marketing time, money, and skills. She was one of those people who said, I don't have money for marketing. She lived in a small town, and she had just recently moved there and needed to ramp up fairly quickly, struggling. In 6 months' time, we took her from struggling to a full practice. How did we do that? She has a beautiful voice, and she has so much knowledge in her field that she went out and got a local radio show. And every week she had a radio show, and through that radio show, she grew very quickly into a trusted source in her community and was not only gathering clients, but was referred and referred and referred. Then she had a new problem, of course. How do you deal with having a full practice and no time? So we have to understand as entrepreneurs that one solution will lead to another challenge. And that's part of what being an entrepreneur is all about. Mm. Yes? So then we started working on that area. So you want to really get clear, if you are an entrepreneur, that part of being an entrepreneur is being willing to take on the discomfort of being an entrepreneur. And be willing to move towards it and manage it and beyond it.
Yeah, and to ask for help. That's because entrepreneurs are very reluctant to ask for help. So that's a real biggie. You know, we just think that we can do it all. And that's a no-no. We need to really ask for help.
Yes, and that is part two. You know, I'm working with another company, and their business is much larger than the one I just described. And that is part of what we're working on right now. Because when I ask the question, where do you get support and who can take care of some of this and get it off of your plate where it doesn't belong anyway, you really didn't have people inside that were in the right seats. So
that's
in
right.
order for us to really maximize not only his present overhead and his present talent pool, because people are so much happier when they're doing what they do well. Instead of being forced to do something,
they don't enjoy. It's crazy. And it's the same thing with spouses. I mean, your spouse has no interest in the business. Yeah, they just support you. You know, they make your lunch for you to go. But you come home and you want to burden them with all the details of the business, which they have no interest in. And these are some of the things why relationships are break up. So you got to be smart and get the help that you need from the outside. Well, Judith, I want to thank you for coming on and so eloquently investing in my listeners. I know that they got a lot out of this, and I hope that they'll call you up to follow through. I want to remind people that this Sunday we're going to be talking about Beyond Hope, where another gentleman, Al Diaz, is going to be sharing his story about Beyond Hope. So it's the holidays is coming up. A healthy and successful world holiday, whatever it is that you celebrate, know that the reason for this season is family. So reach out to your families. And those of you who have been showing me love consistently since the dawn of yesterday, I honor you. I thank you so much for showing me the love and for reaching out on my special day here. I love all of you. I thank you for being part of my network. And I'm looking to do some phenomenal, phenomenal things in 2014. And I want you to be part of that. The only way that you can be part of that is by getting on my mailing list. Because, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. You wait until you see what I am up to in 2014. So go by DaphneClarkHudson.com. Fill out the information there for my mailing list, because we have some phenomenal, phenomenal things that will be coming your way. Judy, I envy you right now because you're in the warm weather and mm-hmm. I am all here in the snow. But you know what? My heart mm-hmm. is so hot, so I'm not going to be worried about that. I am sure we'll be talking later on. And again, I honor you, my sister, and thank you for the work that you're doing. To Tina and all the other people who are on their smartphones and tablets and everything who are listening, I thank each and every one of you. Thank you, Tina. She said she enjoyed this talk very much, and thanks for inviting me. Happy birthday. Thank you, Tina, and I look forward to seeing you again. I remember the amazing time we have on that catamaran in the Dominican Republic. You are an amazing woman. I want every one of you have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and everything else that you celebrate, but most of all, have a rewarding family get together. I love each and every one of you. And guess what? Ain't nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do about that. Stay blessed and follow your destiny.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Reveal to me
my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny.